For us to understand Song of Solomon, we must realize that this book is a sacred analogy. Now, what I mean is simply this. We will find, as we come to study the Song of Solomon, that the Holy Spirit often picks something out of creation, out of nature, and he uses that particular thing to illustrate some spiritual truth. The Holy Spirit does this to throw light on some particular teaching so that you and I may understand, enabling us to be taught some vital truth and doctrine. And so you will find in the Song of Solomon that throughout this particular book, different aspects of nature are used to reveal great spiritual truth. The Bible as a whole is really full of this particular kind of teaching. How often our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, did this and used this particular kind of teaching during his own earthly ministry as he taught the people who gathered around him. You think about the parable of the sower. The Lord Jesus Christ, he picked that particular aspect out of nature, that of the sower. And it was to convey, to reveal the spiritual truth. The seed being the word of God. The sower being the preacher, spreading and sowing the good seed of the gospel. And how the ground referred to the hearts of those who received the word of God. Think about the parable of the lost sheep. Think also about the mustard seed. Think about the barren fig tree, the tree and its fruit. And all of these aspects, the Holy Spirit uses this particular kind of teaching so that we in turn may understand the truth that is contained within the Word of God. And it is this particular imagery of describing the church as a garden here in Song of Solomon 4 and the verse 12, which I would like us to consider here this morning. Believers are the Lord's garden. This garden is made up of all who are truly his and who are in him. And so we ask the question this morning, therefore, in coming to this particular text, what spiritual truth is the Holy Spirit teaching us from this picture of the Lord's people as an enclosed garden, as he takes this particular picture out of nature of a garden enclosed? What is the Holy Spirit to teach you and I in our hearts even today? Well, firstly, from this text, the Holy Spirit is teaching that God's people are a delivered people. We as God's people are a delivered people. You see, the language of this text suggests that this garden has been specially planned. You think about a garden, an enclosed garden. A garden comes into being because it pleased someone to bring it into being. It is not something that occurs naturally. In Ephesians 4, verse 1 through to 6, we read that he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his own will. You see this verse here in Ephesians chapter 4, God's choosing of his people. This verse teaches that all the blessings we enjoy as a garden enclosed and set apart, that all the blessings we enjoy as believers are grounded in the sovereign grace of God alone. His sovereign election of a people, which he took place in eternity past, long before we were ever born, long before creation itself was brought into being, he loved us with an everlasting love. He set his love upon us. Truly we can say this morning with the words of Jonah 2 in the verse 9 that salvation is of the Lord. And there away back in eternity past, God the Father enters into covenant with God the Son. to set apart. Out of the mass of humanity, he elects to set apart a people unto himself, to set apart a garden enclosed. Oh, and how this garden has been specially planned in the eternal counsel of the Godhead. The believer's deliverance was planned in eternity past. But not only this, the language of this text, it suggests to us that this garden has been specially planted. Not only has it been specially planned, but it has been specially planted. It really demonstrates that the child of God has been specially delivered. The child of God has been set apart. He or she has been separated from the world unto God by the grace of God alone. You see, the Word of God teaches us, yes, that He has loved us with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness has He drawn us unto Himself. You see, the fact is this, child of God, gardens do not grow of their own accord. It is only weeds that grow of their own accord. You see, it takes someone to come along and to select a particular plot of ground. It takes someone to prepare the soil, to dig and to cultivate the soil. It takes someone to come along and to plant the garden, to water it, to cultivate it, to fertilize it, to prune the plants so that they grow the way that the gardener desires them so to do. And you see, child of God, we have to say this morning, that being set apart as a garden enclosed was not always the possession of the child of God. You see, you can read very clearly in Ephesians 2 in the verse 3, and it states there that we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You should never lose sight of that. And as a result of the fall, absolutely every individual, including you and me, were born into the wilderness of this world as sinners far from God. And you see, our lives, by nature, were fruitful in nothing but sin in God's eyes. Every man, every woman, therefore, by nature stands before God as one who is condemned, as weeds, we could say, as weeds fit only for the fire. Yet because of what Christ has accomplished, because of what He has done on our behalf, we have been redeemed, we have been delivered. You see, the one who was set apart in eternity past to be our great covenant head came in the fullness of time to redeem us and to deliver a people unto Himself as a garden enclosed, delivered by the grace of God. And you see, the fact is this, child of God, instead of growing as weeds in the wilderness of sin, as weeds fit only for the fire, we have been mightily delivered. We have been planted, aye, transplanted, taken from the world and planted in the garden of the Lord into union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And to accomplish this, the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. You see, without the Lord Jesus Christ, we are absolutely nothing. If He had not come in the fullness of time to deliver us from our sins and to accomplish that great work of redemption, we would still be weeds on our way for the fire, fit only for burning. And you see, Jeremiah 23 in the verse 5, and I love these words because here, it uses the same language that we are considering in our text. And here in Jeremiah 23 in the verse 5 it says, "Behold, the day is come, saith the Lord, and I will raise unto David a righteous branch." Those words there, righteous branch, it simply means a branch that brings forth and bears the fruits of righteousness. From this branch all those are engrafted into him, clothed with that righteousness. And a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. And you see, this garden has been specially planned, but it also has been specially planted. And it is all through Christ and through that great work that He has done. And so this morning we are, as the people of God, a garden enclosed. 1 Peter 1 and the verse 2, it really gives us a clear insight into what this actually means. And here God's people are spoken of as elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And this enclosure here that surrounds the people of God is really related to in this text. We have been seen that we are, this garden has been specially planned. It has been specially planted and set aside all because of what Christ has done and his redeeming work. But notice the enclosure, just as we sum up this particular point, notice the enclosure that has surrounded us from eternity past right until now. You see, the people of God are enclosed by God the Father's election. C.H. Spurgeon says concerning this verse here in 1 Peter 1 verse 2, long before we were born, long before the foundation of the world was ever set, God knew us and chose us in Christ. And as we've been relating to this morning, this is the great enclosure that has surrounded us from eternity past. God the Father's election. The people of God are also enclosed by the special love of God the Son. Think of that great work of redemption that we have been considering this morning and all that it means and all that was entailed in it. Who can rightly estimate the strength of this enclosure that surrounds you and I, the work of God the Son? The people of God are also enclosed by the effectual working of God the Holy Spirit. Oh, for in the fullness of time he applies to us the work of Christ and draws us unto himself. The Holy Spirit has called us out of nature's darkness into the glorious light of the gospel, out of the wilderness of sin's condemnation, and has translated us into the Lord's garden. You can rightly estimate the strength of this enclosure of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. What a comfort these truths bring, therefore. You see, whenever you read John chapter 15 and the verse 16, it really brings our position into focus of who we are and what we are in Jesus Christ. You see, in John 15 and the verse 16, it says concerning us as the people of God, ye have not chosen me. Well, that does away with our self-righteousness. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I just want to stop here, child of God, and think about this. Who were we in the sight of God that he should ever set his love upon us? Absolutely nothing in and of ourselves but sin that arose as a stench in the nostrils of God. And yet he set his love upon us from eternity past. And this enclosure of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in the great outworking of redemption has enclosed us from eternity past and will hold on to us right throughout eternity. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I have ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. Tremendous words. And so from this text, the Holy Spirit is teaching that God's people are a delivered people. What a deliverance, child of God, that God in Trinity has wrought in that great work of redemption and the redeeming of we who were guilty, fallen sons of Adam's helpless race. But secondly, this morning from this text, the Holy Spirit is also teaching that God's people are to be a different people. And that really flows from what we are saying this morning. We are a delivered people. We are now the Lord's. We are a garden enclosed in his grace. And therefore, being a garden enclosed, the Holy Spirit is teaching that God's people should be a different people. The words say a garden enclosed. You see, gardens in Bible times were always surrounded by a wall or by a fence. Now, why is this imagery used? Why is this imagery of an enclosure, a wall or a fence, why is it used here in the text? Well, firstly, it is used to show that this garden is distinct from everything else around it. It is distinct. The wall is a wall of distinction. The child of God, you see, should be distinct from the world around them. In 2 Corinthians 5 and the verse 17 we read, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things pass away, and behold, all things are become new. You see, the fact is this, in the life of the one whom the Lord delivers and sets apart as a garden enclosed, there is a change that God effects in the salvation of sinners. It is radical, and it is something that is reconstructive in its very nature. It is simply called the new birth. It is the Holy Spirit working directly, effectually, and irresistibly upon the heart of the sinner, upon his mind, and upon his very will, creating him anew after the very image of Christ in holiness and in true righteousness. A revolution, a reconstruction takes place at the center of man's moral and spiritual being. You see, sin and pollution are now dethroned in the citadel of man's being, and righteousness now takes its very place. The renewed man, the one who is now set apart and delivered by the grace of God, he acts upon new principles. He lives by new rules. He has new ends in view, and he moves in new company. The believer, you see, is created anew. He is the very workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And he is changed in his character and in his conduct. And so it should be in the life of the one who is truly saved. Now, here's the exhortation, child of God, in the light of what I've been saying. In Ephesians 4, in the verse 17 through to 24, now listen to the words that the Holy Spirit has penned here. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Why? Because you are now a garden enclosed. You have been set apart in the grace of God unto Christ and in Christ for his glory alone and for his honor. You are no longer your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit which are his. And so here we read that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. The child of God is not to walk like the unbeliever, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. You see it, child of God? You're different. There's a distinction about you. Ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth that is in Jesus Christ, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put off the new and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and in true holiness. There's an exhortation to us, as the very people of God. There's to be a distinction about you and I as those who are the Lord's. There's a wall of distinction. Now we ask ourselves the question, is there a distinction in your life and in mine? We've been loved with an everlasting love. We have been delivered in the grace of God, sought out by Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to be his for his honor and for his glory. Is there a distinction in our lives? We're not our own, we're bought with a price. Why is this imagery of being surrounded by a wall of or a fence used? Well, it is also used to separate this garden from everything else outside it. Not only is it a wall of distinction, but it's to be a wall of separation. A wall of separation. You see, this wall separates the plants within from the wilderness without. And in our distinction, there should be separation. The Lord has delivered us, and we have been set apart from the world to serve and to worship him. And therefore, we are no longer off the world, spiritually speaking. The child of God is not to be of the world. We're to be separated from the world. And you see, this literally speaks of holiness unto the Lord. Holiness unto the Lord. I asked a question this morning. Ourselves. How can we as believers be in the world but not be of the world? How can we be in the world and yet not be of the world? Well, believers in Christ Jesus are simply in the world. They are here. We are physically present, but we are not of it. Not part of its sinful values. You see, in John 17, verse 14 through to 15, we read these tremendous words. I have given them thy word. The world, it hates them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. You know, the Lord himself is praying for his people, for his garden enclosed, that there would be a people that would not be of the world. They would be in it, and there would be lights in it, but they would not be of it. And so as believers, the Holy Spirit has called us out of nature's darkness, out of the wilderness of sin, and we have been set apart from the world. And this is the very meaning of being holy and of living a holy life. It is being set apart unto Christ. It is not to be conformed to the world, but rather we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, and therefore prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. The child of God is one who is to be transformed, and daily be transformed, because they're being conformed unto the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we ask the question, what's our responsibility in all of this? What's my responsibility in living a holy life? Well, the true child of God will be known and set apart by the fruit of the Spirit, which will tell out in the way he or she lives out their lives, continually growing in likeness to their Savior. That is the aim. Our responsibility then is to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in the cultivation of these graces in our lives, and to resist and reject everything which opposes and hinders them. In our lives as the children of God, we don't just sit back as passengers. God has given us his word. He has given us the leading of the Holy Spirit. But our responsibility as the people of God is to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. It is to put into practice his very word in our lives. It is to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in the cultivation of these graces. It is not to grieve the Holy Spirit, but rather to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in and through his precious word. It is to resist. It is to reject everything which would oppose and hinder all that he would seek to do in our lives. And as we cooperate with the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we will realize from God's word that we are not to engage in the sinful activities that the world would seek to promote all around us in every hand. We are not to retain the corrupt mindset that the world would seek to create. Rather, we are to conform ourselves unto Jesus Christ. And that's what Romans 12 and the verse 1 and 2 is teaching, that I have already quoted to you this morning. I beseech you therefore, brethren. And here's what the apostle's saying. I beseech you, in light of the mercies of God, in light of what Jesus Christ has done for us, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Let me prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God, not being conformed to this world, but rather being transformed. And I tell you, child of God, I tell you this, is a daily activity that requires daily commitment. You know, where the very word disciple has within it discipline. And as the servants of God, as his disciples, those who seek to follow him, there must be discipline in our lives. And seek to follow his word, put into practice his word, as the Holy Spirit leads us day by day in the Word of God, and to reject and resist everything that would seek to oppose and hinder our progression in holiness. And as Christ's garden, we are to be separated from sin, and we are to be distinct in our living. Is it so in our lives, child of God? Is it? You see, 1 Peter 2, verse 9 tells us very clearly that God's people are a chosen generation. They're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. They're a peculiar people. The whole purpose is that we should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. You see, as Christians, we are supposed to be a peculiar people. That's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be a distinct people, a separated people, a different people, a peculiar people. We are supposed to be different from the world because we're the Lord's garden. And I say to you, child of God, this morning, the Holy Spirit has not come and taken up residence in the lives of His people that they might look like the world and act like the world and love the things that the world loves. See, the Holy Spirit takes us out of the world. And as we follow His leading, as we follow His guiding, He leads us to be conformed more unto the image of Christ. And therefore, to be transformed. Do we know anything of it in our lives? Or do we have to say this morning that we've become so like the world? We have neglected His word and the place of prayer. Instead of being conformed more to Christ and follow His leading and His guiding day by day by day, become more like the world. I trust the Lord will speak to us through His word. You see, the fact is this. We must understand that being in the world but not of it is absolutely necessary if we are to be a light to those who are in spiritual darkness. And it is being in the world and living a holy life, but not of it. It's necessary if we're to be a light to those who are in spiritual darkness. You see, we are to live as believers in such a way that those outside of Christ see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. That they see our Christ-like manner and that they know there is something different about that person. Now, I asked you, child of God, where you work, in your home life, in whatever you take part in, do those around you say and see there is something different and distinct about that person? There is such a likeness to Christ. Can that be said of your life? Can that be said of mine? You see, believers who make every effort to live and to think and act like those who do not know Christ do Christ a great disservice. You see, even the very heathen, listen to these words, even the very heathen know that by their fruits ye shall know them. And as Christians, we should exhibit the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And oh, you know what we need to pray? You know what we need to pray? You see the words of verse number 16 there. Awake, north wind, and come, thou south wind, and blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out, and let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. You know what we need? We need a breath of the Holy Spirit in our very lives. That within our very hearts and our lives would be bestirred the very grace of God that would enable us to live the way we should. To men and women around us who are dying in sins, to live such lives that would honor and glorify the Lord, the one who has saved us and delivered us at such a tremendous cost. And therefore, make that your prayer today. Come, north wind, come, south wind, blow upon my garden, my very heart, my very life, that the spices thereof may flow out. All that is of Christ, the aroma of Christ would flow out of my life. And oh, the Lord would come. Oh, the beloved would come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Speaks of communion. Speaks of fellowship. And as we know the communion and fellowship with the Lord, there will be such an aroma about us that those outside of Christ, they will see a distinction and a difference about us that has never been there before. Thirdly, from this text, the Holy Spirit is also teaching that God's people are a delight to him. He's teaching us here that we as his people are a delight to him. You see, the Lord in the Song of Solomon now calls his people a garden. And here, for one reason, is why. You see, in Christ, we are now fragrant and beautiful to him. Being in Christ, we are now fragrant and beautiful to him. He looks upon the world that revels in sin, the world that rejects him and how it grieves him. And he looks upon the little garden of his believing people. And I tell you, the Lord, even from glory this morning, looks down upon this little garden of his believing people. And with them he is well pleased. You know why? For he sees them as the very fruit of his son's travail. That which he has accomplished in his life and in his death. You see, there is now a sweet aroma that rises from the people of God, being clothed in the imputed righteousness of Christ, where once there was the stench of sin. We are now in Christ, and what an aroma that arises from the people of God that should grow more and more as we live in fellowship and communion with him. And that's why Romans 13 verse 14 exhorts us as the people of God to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and to make no provision for the flesh. It is simply like the putting on of a sweet perfume. You know, there's something really refreshing. And we all, no doubt, have experienced this. There's something really refreshing when an individual comes into a room wearing a fragrant perfume. The aroma does not overpower you, but when the person leaves the room, the sweet fragrance lingers on for a while. And so it is with a genuine believer, one who's walking with the Lord. Those who love the Lord Jesus Christ and who spend time in communion with him, oh, how they emit a lovely aroma from the very person. This aroma is easily recognized in those who spend time in communion with the Lord. And have you ever considered how over time you tend to become more like the people you spend time with? And that's so true. You get like the people you spend time with. I simply ask you the question this morning, child of God. Are you more Christ-like now than this time last year? Are you more Christ-like in your life? As the true believer comes to commune with Christ and his word, you know, he or she, we often in our lives will experience this. We will often feel ourselves vile in our own eyes, and how we should feel ourselves vile in our own eyes, for there's no good thing in us, absolutely nothing whatsoever. And the more that we commune with the Lord, and the more that we read his word and understand the truth therein, we will feel ourselves vile in our own eyes. And how we so often let the Lord down, and how we so often fail him. You only have to read Isaiah 6 and the verse 1 through to 6. Whenever Isaiah got a true sight of the Lord, he cried, "Woe is me, for I am undone, a man of unclean lips, dwell in the midst of an unclean people, for mine eyes have seen the glory of the Lord." And yet when the prophet had confessed his sin, there followed the application of pardon and purification. You see, I'm saying to you this morning that, praise God, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and we are in union with him. And this is what we are to focus on, for this is how the Lord describes his redeemed people. Look at Song of Solomon 1:15. He says, "You are all fair, as sweet as your voice, your countenance is lovely, beautiful as Tirzah, lovely as Jerusalem, fair as the moon, clear as the sun." This is how the Lord views his people. And this is how we are to view ourselves in Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something this morning, child of God. Yes, we do sin daily in thought, word, and in deed, and we are to confess our sins. But that verse goes on to say that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I tell you this morning that God is not like us. He does not hold a grudge. He does not hold a grudge against his people. I tell you, we sin against him every day in thought, word, and deed. And we come again to the Lord, and we have sinned. And before we have prayed, "Lord, help me not to do that thing again." And here we come the next week and we do exactly the same thing again. And we sin against the Lord and we let him down and we fail our blessed Savior. And the mindset that we often get and we often have is this: "I have done that thing again." And we pray the Lord, "Lord, forgive me for it." And then throughout that week, we think we have to earn the Lord's acceptance. I tell you, child of God, that is not the way it is. we are viewed in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. When God the Father looks upon us, He sees His blessed Son and the work that He has accomplished. He sees us clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is how we view ourselves. And yes, we sin daily in thought, word, and deed. But when we come to the throne of grace, we come there to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in our time of need. And we say like the psalmist, I am poor and needy, and yet the Lord of glory thinks upon me. He does not hold a grudge against me, but because of Christ and for Christ's sake, that there and then, when we bow the knee and confess our sin, He there and then is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and to restore us again into fellowship with Himself and into communion with Himself. Tell you can take God at His very word. He is not a man that He should lie. Child of God, this is how you are to view yourself. It is in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do sin, confess your sin, leave it there, and go on and go through with God. This is what He says of His people. You're all fair, viewed in Christ. Sweet is your voice. Your countenance is lovely. Beautiful as Tirzah. Lovely as Jerusalem, fair as the moon, and clear as the very sun. The tenderness of Christ is shown in the delight that He takes in His redeemed people and the very working of His own grace in them. You know, as I've said this to you this morning, it sounds almost incredible, doesn't it? It sounds almost incredible. But it's true. This is how we are viewed in Christ, precious in His sight, purchased with His own blood. Away back in eternity past, He set a love upon us, sent His Son for us. In the fullness of time, the Holy Spirit has drawn us unto Himself, into union with Christ. And there we are, and there we remain. Blessed with all spiritual blessings in Him. And as the people of God, we often do not appropriate all that is ours in Christ. Why? It's because we look at ourselves. We look in, we look in, we look in. We see our faults, we see our failings. And that is true. We should see those things. But you know what the apostle says? He says, look unto Jesus. You see, He is the author and He is the finisher of our faith. He, for the joy that was set before Him on our behalf, endured the cross and despised the shame. And therefore, when we look in, we look away to Him. Live in the reality of what He has done and of what we are in Him. Fourthly, this morning, and quickly from this text, the Holy Spirit is also teaching that God will defend His people and He will therefore bless them. God will defend His people and He will therefore bless them. You see, it says we are a garden enclosed. This speaks of a wall of defense. And it is of great delight to the Christian to know how deeply Christ loves him. Is that not something that we rejoice in this morning? To come to understand and to know how that Christ loves His people. I really don't think we focus on that enough. On what the Lord has actually accomplished on behalf of us guilty, hell deserving sinners. How He has loved us with an everlasting love. You see, the old accuser, the devil, and it's so true, the old accuser, the devil, would have you and me despair at the thought of our sinfulness and our failure in so many ways. But Christ, though well aware of His people's failing, does not hesitate to tell them plainly that He has immense love for all who believe in Him. He tells His church in the verse 9, "Thou hast ravished my heart. Thou hast ravished my heart." And as a gardener loves to tend his garden, you think about those gardeners that you know and how they love to go into their garden. They love to tend it. They love to prune it. They love to see it growing the way that they want it to grow. So the Lord loves to tend the needs of His people. He loves to tend to the needs of His church. And so as a garden planned and planted by God's grace, He has promised to supply every single one of our needs. Philippians 4:19 says that my God shall Take God at His word, child of God. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You see, our Father does not forsake His children, the flowers of His garden. Never. Psalm 94 in the verse 14, the Lord will not cast off His people, neither will He forsake His inheritance. The old accuser would have us to doubt so many times, wouldn't he, child of God? There's God's word. You take God at His word. These assurances hold good even in the midst of our trouble and in our affliction. You see the Apostle Paul, what he had to say there in 2 Corinthians 4. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Child of God, have you ever been brought to the point of despair because of something you've been confronted with in your life's experience? Get a focus on the God of your salvation. And as a garden planned and planted by God's grace, He has promised to protect us and to give us comfort in all our times of trouble. You see, is this not what Psalm 125 in the verse 2 teaches? As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth, even forever. And that holds true right here in Garva. That holds true, child of God, in your little life. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord of glory, is round about His people, is round about you, from henceforth even forever. And yes, I say to you, that the wild boar of the woods would seek to break in, the old adversary, the devil, how he seeks to break in, and how he would seek to devour this little garden, the garden of the Lord. The roaring lion would seek to come in and trample everything under his feet. Oh, that's his great aim. The old devil would soon try to lay the Lord's garden level to the ground, if he could. But rest in these words found in Romans 5 and the verse 35. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Absolutely nothing. For in Romans 8 verse 37 it says, nay, in the midst of all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Child of God, can you focus on these things today? Can you focus on this great truth, that you're a garden enclosed? Enclosed in the grace of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Love with an everlasting love from eternity past. In the fullness of time, Christ comes, delivered by the Holy Spirit, to be a different people, to be a delivered people, to be a distinct people, to be a separated people, to live for His honor and for His glory, that the world around might see. That your loved ones might see the difference. Never lose sight of what you are in Jesus Christ. Always sin in thought, word, and deed. But look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Confess your sins to Him. Lay them there and go on and go through with God. Be strong and do exploits for Him. The Lord does not hold a grudge against His people. He delights to bless His people. I wonder, can you grasp that this morning? That the Lord, He delights to bless His people. The Bible says that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Why then, as the people of God, do we not appropriate these blessings that are already ours in Christ? As God looks down upon us, He loves us in Christ. He views us in Christ. He delights to bless. He desires to bless His people. Therefore, walk in newness of life with Him. Take Him at His word. Child of God, do that today and from now on. Take God at His word. Rest on His word. That word is yours, literally, to take. To plead before the throne of heavenly grace. What does the Bible say? Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Is that promise good for you today? That promise was good for those in the day when it was written. It is good for us. Take God at His word. Lay hold in the promises of God. He is a covenant keeping God. And He cannot lie. He loves you with an everlasting love. You're absolutely no different. He didn't love the Apostle Paul any more than He loved you. He loves you exactly the same. His word is yours to take and lay hold of. I trust that the Holy Spirit would lay this word to our hearts. We get a grasp of it. That it would enable us to live different in our lives. We enter into the place of prayer. What a privilege to come this evening to the prayer time. And to come before the throne of heavenly grace and to plead that which is ours in Jesus Christ. To lay hold of it. To take God at His word. Plead that He will go forth, the one who is conquering and to conquer, and that we will just step into the victory that is ours in Jesus Christ. Can you do that in your life? What's missing? What's needful, child of God, in your life? Step into the victory that is yours in Jesus Christ. See yourself in Christ. Live in the reality of that. And may God bless His word to us today.